Fine.
So there's an interesting phenomenon that happens both at the culmination of the building of the Mishkan, as well as at the culmination of the building of the Mikdash. And that is, you put in all this time, you build, design, build, whatever, right? You get all the elaborate description of the construction, and then what do you expect will happen?
A fire comes down from heaven.
Sure, a fire comes down from heaven, and then what?
Everyone goes home.
No, everyone goes home. You expect that someone goes in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You expect that someone goes in. Like, we built it, you know, it's like, it's sort of anticlimactic, right? Like, if you build a stadium every year, and you have the red ribbon cut ceremony, and then they cut the red ribbon and say, okay, the ribbon is cut, and then they get back in their cars and go home. Right? And it's like, that's absurd. I mean, you know, or they cut the ribbon and they say, but you can't go in because the engineers did their check, and it turns out that the building is unstable, so it's going to take a few more months till you can use it. I mean, but that's just like completely, totally anticlimactic. And yet, that is exactly what happens when the Mishkan is finished and when the Beit HaMikdash is finished. Right? So, Bekudei finishes. Vayechas ha'anan et ol moed uchvod Adonai malei el ha'mishkan. Right? The cloud of God descends and God's glory fills the Mishkan, exactly as Chaim said it would. And what's the next pasuk? V'lo yachol Moshe lavo ol moed ki shachan alav ha'anan uchvod Adonai malei el ha'mishkan. And Moshe could not come in to the Ohel Moed because God's presence was there. Right? Now Rashi already picked up on how weird this is, right? Because, but I'll get to Rashi in a minute. But you get the exact same thing in Malachim when Perchet, Malachim Aleph, after all the elaborate building of Shlomo, Vayhi b'tzeit ha-kohanim amin ha-kodesh v'ha'anan malei et beit Adonai, the kohanim leave, God's cloud descends, v'lo yachlu ha-kohanim la'amod l'sharek d'pnei ha'anan ki malei chvod Adonai beit Adonai. So the kohanim could not enter because God's presence filled it. Now, there's a lot going on there, but let's try to unpack some of it. First of all, why? Why? Why should the culminating moment of... Because eventually people are going to get in, right? We know that. Why do you think that it's important that at that moment when the Mishkan is finished and the Mikdash is finished, Mishkan and Mikdash are finished, that nobody can go in? Why is that important? Beit Hashem, thank you. There for what?
The purpose of it was for Hashem.
No,
the purpose of it was not for a place for Hashem, not for it to be created.
And therefore?
Therefore, once it's built, if Hashem's presence filled it, it's for everyone to come in because it had just been finished, would it be a little bit degrading.
Okay, right. So Adam says, well, maybe really, since it's the home of God, right, and not of people, so you want to highlight that. Right? Even though, yes, Kohanim will come and they'll do Avodah, but like, right, God needs to, I don't know, stake out his territory first? I don't really know how you want to put it, right?
Well, it's that when you're going in, you're obviously going in for the right reason, and if you're going in just because it's just in, you want to see what it looks like.
Oh, so you're saying maybe, right, you don't want people going in just because of, right, curiosity. So maybe, but that, I wouldn't put that on Moshe, honestly, or Shlomo, right? I mean, you're talking about people who devoted it for the right reasons. It's not the random people, right? It makes a point that Moshe can't go in and Shlomo can't go in, right? So, so, you know, I think, look, I think there are different ways we could take this, but I think it's important to note that this phenomenon happens. So I think part of it, the secret, is what Shlomo says in his tefillah, because here he launches into a tefillah, and I'll skip the beginning of his tefillah because for the moment, but how does he describe the Mikdash? So he says, in a famous line, Ki ha'umnam yeshev Elohim al ha'aretz, hinei ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yichalkalucha af ki ha'bayit hazeh asher baniti. Said the heaven, will God really dwell on earth? Like the heavens and the heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Ufanita el tefilat avdecha vel pinato adonai Elohai lishmol arinav el tefilah she'avdecha mitvalel avnecha yom. And yet I turn to you that you should accept the tefilot which come from here. Lahalot lichyot einecha pituchot el abayin hazeh laila vayom, etc. That day and night your eyes should be turned here to any tefilot that come from it. So I think at one level it might be similar to what Adam's saying, but I think even sharper it's to highlight the paradox of the Mishkan, which is it doesn't even make sense that a Mishkan or Mishkan should exist because God transcends the cosmos. So what would it mean for him to be in a place? Right? The fact that whatever it means that God allows a home to be built for him and built for himself in the world is paradoxical. It's more, as Shlomo notes, about a place where human beings can relate and God accepts our tefillah because of what happens there and the way we orient ourselves towards it, right? But at some level, making it that at that first moment, right, God's presence overwhelms humanity that they can't enter, I think it's more than just respect. It like highlights the way in which it makes no sense that this structure even exists. Right, and so I think that's one level to it, right? I mean, you just think about how the words, right? They can't come in because like his cloud is there and they can't enter, right? There's this, God isn't really here, but in the sense that he is, it's overpowering and overwhelming, which is supposed to orient yourself, right? You know, I've mentioned this before, but Heschel, in several of his books, really develops the idea that one of the key spiritual emotions that you have to feel in life is wonder. Right? Is wonder, right? That feeling that you don't really understand something, right? That something is just like, there's something about it that you don't grasp, right? Is what points us at the divine. Right? That experience that even something that like we could sort of describe, right? Is it like even like you see a beautiful nature scene, right? Like you can describe what you're seeing, but that response of wonder is like you can't put your finger on it, right? There's like you have this feeling that there's something beyond you that you just can't put your finger on, right? And that ability to just feel like there are things in life that are beyond us, right, points us towards the possibility of divine. So I think at one level, it's like that. Now, obviously that's going to be countered, and I think this is what Rashi is getting at, right? Rashi says Moshe couldn't come in. In Bamidbar it says, V'chatuv echad omer u'bevo Moshe el ohel moed. Then Moshe does come in, right? So he says, Ba chatuv ha'shlishi v'echriya b'neihem. You're using classic Chazal methodology. So one pasuk says Moshe can't come in. The other says he can. What's the third pasuk that's machriya? Ki shachan alav hanan. And more mayata kolzman shahaya alava anav lo yachol lavo. If the cloud is there, he can't come in. Nistalik anan nichnas medaverimo. But if when it leaves, he can come in and he can communicate. Right? Meaning, central to the Mishkan seems to be this idea that there have to be moments where man can't enter. Right? That reminds us that the divine is beyond us. Once we remind ourselves of that, so then we can go in when whatever it means, God's intense presence is in there, and we can communicate, and we can worship, and we can develop this relationship in this place that represents the paradox of God's immanence and transcendence at the same moment. And obviously that's how Vayikra opens, that once God calls him in, so he can come in. I think there's also a humbling experience that Chazal go for, not here in the Mishkan as much as they do in the Mikdash. But if you read Tfilat Shlomo, starting at Pasuk Yud Bet there in Parakhet, he spends like 20 psukim talking about how God has a relationship with David, and that's why he set up his home here, and that's why he finally chose a city. And Chazal have a midrash about this. And what do they say? That as Shlomo was about to go to the Beit HaMikdash, the doors magically locked themselves. So he's begging them from 100 different angles. And finally he says, open in the Schut of David, right, which they're just picking up in the Pshat of Parakhet here, right, and the doors open. What that seems to be getting at, right, is that it's central to like Shlomo being allowed to go to the Beit HaMikdash is the recognition that it's not about him, right? It's David, it's as part of a history, and as he highlights here, Hashem agreed, so to speak, to have a home in this world only because David was his loyal servant, and it's conditional on us doing the mitzvot, right? A certain level of barring prevents us from feeling entitled, right? Which might be more what Adam was saying, right? So I think part of it is to highlight the paradox of the Mishkan, but second is, as Chazal noted in the Midrash around about David, is to highlight an unworthiness. Right, that yes, you're supposed to go in, but you have to remember this is a privilege, not a right. Right, and by starting off the Mikdash and the Mishkan by not letting them in, right, and then calling them in, and then allowing them in, right, it highlights that fact. Right, if something is given to you easy, especially, you know, they spend so much time building it, you would think they feel entitled, but the answer is no. Even though you spend all the time building it, right, you're not entitled to it. And God has to, right, let you in. And again, you know, at some level, this, I think, is the simple, even in simpler pshat, because Moshe does go in the beginning of Vayikra, but the way the Ibn Ezra writes it is, why couldn't Moshe go in? But Otosha, he couldn't go in at that moment, until God called him, right? Meaning, it's not that he can't go in. He can't go in without being invited, right? Building it is not enough, because once God makes it his home, whatever that means, you have to be given permission and invitation to come in. Now, it's paradoxical, because like as the Rashbam says, why would such a direct manifestation of God's presence come down? So he says, to show God's love for the Jewish people, right? That's why you need this sort of quasi-physical manifestation of God's presence, right? But the same object which shows God really came is the one that keeps you at a distance. And again, that paradox, I think, is central. And the Ramban says this quite clearly, and he says, but the Ibn Ezra implies it, right, that he couldn't come in until he was invited, and the Ramban says, Vata'am shlo yavu sham bli reshut. The whole point is that he knows he can't come in without permission. So I think that if I had to guess, these are at least two reasons that this has to happen, right? One is, as Shlomo talks about, to highlight the paradox that doesn't really make sense as a home for God, and by making it that, right, this whole intense beginning, it reminds you of that. And the second is to remind you that this approach to the divine is a privilege, not a right, and therefore, even though Shlomo and Moshe are responsible for the building, they can't go in until they get permission. And that's why I think this phenomenon has to happen by both, right? Because this is actually central to the entire notion of having any sort of Beit Hashem in the world, whether it be the Mikdash or the Mishkan. Okay.